This morning we're going to take a look at some lessons that we can learn from the life of Mary. Those of you who came in the front, Mr. Kahn and I debated about putting Mary, Jesus' mom, but it took too many spaces, so it just says Mary. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke tell us a lot about the Savior's mom. And you know, Mary's life is a worthy place to glean some lessons from. Now, when we first meet her, she's living at home with her parents before she became the wife of Joseph. In Luke chapter 3, it tells us that she comes from the tribe of Judah, from the lineage of David. Now, with that as background, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, because we're going to spend some time there this morning. One of the first lessons that we're going to learn from Mary is humility. When Mary replies to Gabriel in Luke chapter 1 verse 34, she says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." What that demonstrates to us is that she is teachable. Because quite frankly, a lot of us would have responded, "Hey, you're going to have a kid," quite negatively. We might have replied, "Well, that isn't going to happen. I'm still a virgin." Or, "Apparently you don't understand how that works." Mary asks, "How?" In order to be teachable, one has to be humble enough to admit ignorance. You know, not everybody is willing to learn. I went to a set of classes last weekend that was quite interesting, because we had some of these arrogant souls there that wouldn't let the instructor talk because they already knew more than the instructor did, which is frustrating to the rest of us. But skip down to verse 38. Where it says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "may your word to me be fulfilled." Wow. If you were looking for humility in practice, that would be it. Mary was the Lord's servant. And quite frankly, she's responding to some pretty stunning stuff. But her immediate knee-jerk reaction was obedience. She had an exemplary attitude of servanthood in the face of some really odd news from this angel. She knew that she was going to get looks from the people in her village, that she was going to lose friends, she was going to get ridicule, she was going to receive persecution, because she was about to be pregnant without a husband. Now, she lived, and again, Brian's conversation on Wednesday, if you missed that, I'm sorry that you did, because it was really a fascinating talk. Brian was talking about the impact of a shame-based culture, and the fact that, you know what, shame is a pretty effective tool. It can be a very painful tool, but it's effective. And she knew that being pregnant, while being unwed, was going to shame her, but despite that, she says to the angel, "I am the Lord's servant." Can we say that? Do we say that? Are we sticking close to God's word and not wavering from the truth? Mary said yes to God's plan to her life. She was obedient. She was submissive. And everything that came out of her mouth was from an humble heart. Are we willing to say yes when God calls us to do something? The Bible pretty consistently condemns pride and arrogance, because if a person is full of himself, it's hard for God to be able to use that person. And every servant of God mentioned in the Bible needs to be humble before God can work with him or her. A person who sees himself to be more important than God isn't going to completely follow God. In Luke chapter 1 verse 48 we read, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservants. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me." Mary knows what her position is. But she also understands that she's been blessed. Mary is not really significant in the eyes of any people, but she was someone in the eyes of God. And truly, that's where we need to find our worth, is in the eyes of God. Because when people judge us, it matters very little in terms of where we're going to spend eternity. But what God thinks of us matters a whole lot in the matter of eternity. In Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 51, we read that God has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. And that's confirmed in the book of James in chapter 4, verse 6, when he says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." So our first lesson to learn from Mary is how to be humble. Our second lesson to learn from Mary is about priorities. Mary made it a priority to know God's Word. Now in the time that Mary lived, she heard the Word of God in the synagogue and she kept it in her heart. How well do we know the Word of God? Are we able to speak God's Word to other people? Is being in God's Word part of our everyday life? In Luke chapter 1, verse 54, we read, "He," and that's referring to God, "has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to His offspring forever." Now, after Mary's encounter with Gabriel, she goes to see Elizabeth. And she makes a song that's recorded from verse 46 to verse 55. Now, without a knowledge of God, it would not have been possible to write that song. Because every single phrase of that song comes from the Old Testament. She knew about God's character. She knew about God's commands, about God's justice, about God's love, about His mercy. And in the same way, we as Christians are expected to have a knowledge of God's Word and the understanding of His plan and purpose in our lives. But we cannot follow what God wants us to do if we don't know what His Word says. We need to read the Bible and make it a habit to study what it has to say to us. The third lesson that we can learn from Mary is to be available. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it reads, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now, a lot of us can remember the last time we filled out a job application. You had to give your vital statistics, summarize your background, your education, your experience. And then you had to answer one of those interview questions like, well, what makes you qualified for this position? And then you have to answer that question without coming across sounding arrogant. Because employers are already assuming your availability if you made the application. But really what they want to discover during the interview process is, what are your liabilities and what skills do you have that will actually help you do the job? But clearly that is not how God operates. The experience of Mary teaches us that God is not as interested in our abilities as He is in our availability. Verses 26 and 27 paint a picture of an ordinary girl, and quite frankly, she has some fairly serious liabilities. First, she's young. Mary was pledged to be married. And at that time period, it was customary for girls to be engaged by 13 or 14, around the time they reached puberty. And one of the reasons for that was to make sure that they were still virgins when they got married. And it's possible that Mary may have been as old as 15 or 16 before she talked to Gabriel. Now we might think that girl is too young for God to use her, but he didn't. We also know that Mary's poor. We get that out of Luke chapter 2, looking in verse, starting in verse 22. Because Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to the temple to be circumcised. Now they were required to bring one of two offerings, either a lamb for the burnt offering and a dove for sin offerings, or if a lamb was too expensive, the parents could bring a second dove instead. Mary and Joseph brought two doves because they couldn't afford the lamb. Now you and I might have thought that Mary's family was too poor to provide for Jesus adequately. But God didn't think so. So Mary's young, and she's poor. But she also comes from Nazareth. Now in first century Nazareth, it was famous for being a town of sin, mostly because it was about 4 miles away from a Roman garrison at Sepphoris. And when the soldiers got a few days' leave in their pay, they went to Nazareth where they could find cheap wine and willing women. By the way, you won't find that in the Bible. That's secular history. However, it may be that that is why Nathanael in John chapter 1 verse 46 says, when he finds out that Jesus is from Nazareth, he says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, you and I might have thought, nope. There is no telling what Mary saw while she was growing up, what she heard, or what she might have been doing in a town with such a reputation. But apparently, that wasn't a problem for God. Mary was young, she was poor and from Nazareth. But God chose her for one of the most important jobs he ever asked a person to do. And through God's choice of Mary, he's teaching us that no matter who we are, if we're available to him, he can use us. Sometimes we think we're too young or we're too old. We're not rich enough. We're not talented enough. We don't have the right background, or maybe we made mistakes in our past. And so God can't use us. But don't limit God. He can use you if you're available and if you'll trust him. The Apostle Paul's background is a whole different lesson. But if you're looking for a guy who made some mistakes, go look up Paul. And he became quite effective for the Lord. Do we believe that God can use us? I came across a quote that seemed kind of interesting. It's from a woman by the name of Betty Reese. "If you think that you are too small to be effective, you have clearly never been in bed with a mosquito." So if you think you are useless, think again. For God is always looking for humble and available people to work with his plans. One of the next lessons we're going to learn from Mary is about her faithfulness, because by all means, Mary was a woman of faith. She gave praise to her God, knowing that the road before her was going to be a difficult one. And we need to ask ourselves if we praise him in the difficult circumstances in our lives. In verse 46 of chapter 1 in Luke, Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." After hearing Angel Gabriel's statement, she made the response in verse 38, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." There's faith. An angel came to this girl and said, "You're about to be pregnant with no husband." And her response is, "Okay." That's faith. Instead of arguing with the angel Gabriel, or questioning the wisdom of God, or worrying about the consequences of the proclamation, she just says, "Be it unto me according to your word." Can you imagine being Mary and having to go home and tell mom and dad, "Hey, I'm pregnant"? Or having to go to Joseph and say, "Hey, I'm pregnant." How much shame did she go through in the town? You know what? having to go through town and saying, well, the Holy Spirit made me pregnant, probably did not add to her cause. There is no doubt that Mary is strong and brave and devoted, and at a very young age, she had the audacity to accept God's will in her life, and we do too. But here's one of the things that we need to remember, that following God doesn't always mean that we're going to have a comfortable life. It doesn't mean that we'll be physically prosperous or wealthy. And in fact, Jesus tells us that we must endure until the end to be saved. Matthew 24 verse 14 clearly tells us that. And if you look at Mary's life, comfort is not a descriptor of the rest of her life. But this is a strong woman. And her strength is the last lesson we're going to get out of Mary this morning. If you turn over to Luke chapter 2, verse 34, I want to go back to the first time that Mary takes Jesus as an infant to the temple. And she runs into a guy by the name of Simeon. And in chapter 2, verse 34, it says, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.'" You know, by and large, she had to be doing fairly well up into that last line. "A sword will pierce your own soul." Thanks. That message from the angel completely changed Mary's life. This is a girl who was getting ready to be married. She was going to live a normal life. And her life turned out to be anything but normal. How could she be calm and courageous as she faced the problems that her pregnancy caused? She would cling to the words that Gabriel spoke in verse 28. "The Lord is with you." The Lord was with her, and He helped her. He gave her strength and courage to face everything that came to her in life. Now that same Lord that made that promise to be with Mary has said the same thing to you and I. Flip for just a minute over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to start reading in verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." One of the titles that Jesus was given was Emmanuel, which means God with us. And one of the great themes of the Old Testament is the concept of God living with His people. Jesus is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. Jesus came to make God's promises a conscious and living reality in our lives. And you know what? As Christians, we face problems. But we have the comfort of knowing that God is with us. We can bring those problems to God and trust Him to work them out. And He will, just as surely as He worked them out for Mary. Picture this. Let's skip to the very end of Christ's life, where Mary is kneeling at a cross, watching her son die in front of her face. She looks up and she sees his broken body, knowing that he's already been whipped and suffered. That's hard. we have hard things happen to us. Family members get sick. Family members die. But even as Mary stared at her son on that cross, she kept her faith. Even in difficult times, she trusted in God and His will for her life. Let us find strength in God while we suffer hardships. As Christians, we are called to a paradoxical life, one that the world seldom understands, because it is through humility and sacrifice and faithfulness that we find greatness. Mary knew that Jesus was dying on the cross for my sins and for hers. She watched the child that she loved die on that cross for the sins of the world. Now, Christ died for our sins too. Have you repented? Have you put your faith and trust in Him for your salvation? If not, this morning you can do that by coming forward and being baptized. If you've already been baptized but would like the prayers of the church, you can come forward and make that request known as together we stand and as we sing.